That was a truly exhilarating win last night for the San Francisco Giants. 1-0 over the Padres. They made one of the better relays you're ever going to see. Luis Gonzalez to Brandon Crawford to Joey Bart. Just amazing all the way around. And Camilo Duvall featuring these 101-mile-an-hour sinkers, 103-mile-an-hour cutters to finish off the game. So the future looking more bright than it did a while ago, and the present not looking so bad either. Next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and on this show we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, the Giants did what they needed to do. They won this first game in San Diego against the Padres, the team that is currently the third wildcard team. And not a lot of people saw that coming even just a week ago. They were more in the middle. I think they were the second wildcard team, and they got Juan Soto. They got Drury. They got Bell. They got Josh Hader. And yet they've lost 5 out of 6 since acquiring most of those guys, including Soto. So you can't predict baseball, and the Giants here, with the Padres being that third wildcard team, really have a shot to make a dent in the standings. And they started off the way that they would want to start off, and it was just arguably the best game of the year for the Giants, just from a emotional standpoint, and really exhilarating, like I said, for the present and for the future. When you look at the emergence in the last month or so from Joey Bart and Camilo Duvall, and even guys like Tyro Estrada, Luis Gonzalez has struggled, but you start to see future pieces here on this roster, and some really, like with Bart and Estrada, or Bart and Duvall, you see guys who have, I want to not say star potential. I don't want to put too high of expectations out there, but you can see the development of a Joey Bart and a Camilo Duvall. And for Duvall, I mean, I think he has the potential to be one of the elite relievers in the game. And we're seeing that begin possibly right now. No guarantee, but we'll get into the numbers on Duvall in a minute and that new sinker that has just been a game-changing pitch for him. But the play that stood out to the most was the relay in the seventh inning with Ha-Sung Kim hitting a double down the left field line with Brandon Drury on first base. And it had to be perfect from all parties involved from the Giants' perspective, and it was. Luis Gonzalez sprinted over into the left field corner and played the ball perfectly off the wall. He fired in a strike to Brandon Crawford, and Crawford quickly turned and fired a rocket to home, where Joey Bart dug it out of the dirt and applied the tag. Like, to scoop the ball out of the dirt is bringing your glove in an upwards motion, and then to drop the tag, you're going back down. And so the quickness with which he picked that ball, which was not easy to pick, and then got the tag down on the arm of Brandon Drury, like the Milla moment before Drury was able to get his hand down onto the plate, because it kind of, his hand hit the ground and then bounced up just a little bit, and Bart applied the tag right there, and then his hand went back down on the plate. And he was originally called safe, as you likely know if you were watching the game, and I thought there wasn't going to be enough to overturn it, even though it looked like he may have been out. But apparently there was a shot in the video room that showed that he was clearly out. I saw one angle that looked like he was kind of clearly out, but with these replay reviews, we've seen much worse not get overturned because they tend to just really stick with the call on the field unless it's completely conclusive. And I didn't think it was, but I did think he was out, and they made the call. And it just felt like, I mean, what a huge play for the Giants. And the defense having been such a problem for this team all season long, it was just so refreshing isn't even the right word. It was like exercising a demon. And yes, it's one play. And so for all we know, they're going to break back down defensively tonight. And then you kind of forget about the one play. But it was just it had to be perfect. And it was. And it wasn't just one player. I think it was fitting that it was a team effort. And this is something that this team has kind of been lacking this season, is like a cohesion as a group and working together to win games. And that's what we saw last night. And there hasn't been a lot of that. And then when you factor in that it's important players to your team for your present and your future, you've got Brandon Crawford, who has taken a step back defensively this year with some of the injuries he's had. And he's back now at an important time. And to see, like, his throws lately have been really strong. And then Joey Bart, arguably the most important player on the Giants right now, watching his development and seeing what he's been able to do since coming back from getting sent down. I mean, the man is hitting 282 with a 317 on base and 500 slugging, a 130 weighted runs created plus since his call up back to the majors in early July. And the strikeout rate since that point, only 32.9%. Before getting sent down, it was at like 45%. So he's cut the strikeout rate and he's just been a different player. And forget the numbers for a minute. Just the way he's carrying himself right now, he feels comfortable, it looks like, really for the first time. It's hard to be super comfortable when he was striking out like he was striking out. And then in 2020, he was kind of rushed and he really didn't look comfortable. But right now, Joey Bart looks like a comfortable and confident and player, and he's playing loose and he's having fun. And that is a huge deal for the Giants right now and going into the future. So another player who is a huge part of the future of the Giants potentially is Camilo Doval. And Doval has taken a star turn himself here in the last few weeks with this new sinker. So we're going to get into the characteristics of that pitch and how it's helped him turn a corner momentarily. But first, if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Cookie dough is my absolute favorite, so this is awesome that Built has introduced this new flavor, at least for me, and I recommend checking it out for yourself. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo LOCKED15. All right, as promised, we're going to talk about the star turn for Camilo Doval. Mention Joey Bart and these young players, Tyro Estrada, younger players, guys with team control, guys who are not like impending free agents. These guys are so important because you factor them in years to come. And if you can factor in, you've got a really good player. That is a great foundation. Now, the Giants don't have like superstar young talent, but if you've got a handful of good young players and potentially an elite reliever, potentially one of the better catchers in the game, I'm not going there quite yet with Bart, but I mean, if he's looked much better since getting called up, that's what I'll say. I'm kind of taking the Gabe Kapler approach. Gabe Kapler is careful about not getting overly excited about anything. And particularly with Bart, he's asked about him a lot. And he's like, we take a measured approach to this, but he's looked really good. So I'm taking the same approach, but it's been great to see. And what also has been great to see is Camilo Doval, like I said. So he comes in here in the ninth inning. It's a 1-0 Giants lead, and you've got to go through Soto, Machado, and Josh Bell. And he went through them rather easily. He got a ground out from Soto, a soft liner from Machado, and then he strikes out Josh Bell, a guy who's not easy to strike out. And that final pitch was 103 miles an hour. It classifies as his cutter, right? His four-seam I call it four seam, but his highest velocity pitches, the ones that are like 102, 103, you can tell the sinker has arm side run like into right-handed hitters away from lefties, and the cutter has the opposite movement or it's straight. It's called a cutter, but mostly it looks straight. So that last pitch was 103 mile an hour cutter, 102.9. But guess what? When you say 103, they're always rounding. There's some people who don't understand this. 102.5 is called 103. That's called rounding. And so, yeah, I mean, what changed the whole thing for me, though, is the sinker, which he started throwing in mid-July. And for the longest time, Duvall just had this cutter, which is more like a straight fastball. Doesn't really cut much. Sometimes it does, but the cutter and the slider. And people always wondered, why does he not throw the fastball more? And I've always said, the results just haven't been good on that pitch. Historically, including this year, he just hasn't gotten good results on that cutter. And the slider, on the other hand, has had excellent results last year and this year. And last year and this year, the cutter did not have excellent results. So there was always this belief, like, you should be able to have good results with your 103-mile-an-hour fastball. But he wasn't. And so the idea that he needed another pitch was something that was always on a lot of people's minds, including my own. And whether it was a changeup, like a splitter, something that had arm side run into a righty away from a lefty, or a sinker. And so the pitch has become a sinker. The third pitch he's added is this sinker, and it has been a very good pitch for him in this limited amount of time that he's been throwing it. He's now thrown 78 of them, and the league has hit 118 with a 118 slugging against this sinker. He's got swings and misses on 27% of sinkers that he's thrown. And also, what's arguably the most impressive thing to me is that the average launch angle against this sinker, which is only 10 balls that have been hit into play against the sinker, so it's a very small sample, but it's an average launch angle of negative 24 degrees. Negative 24 degrees. It's like straight into the ground. Okay, it's not straight down, but it's very much a negative number here. And to put this into perspective, the very top players in the league this year in terms of the average launch angle against them overall are like around zero or slightly negative. And Logan Webb is up there. Like, it's guys with heavy sink, guys like Logan Webb. And granted, this is for Duvall on one individual pitch. I don't have this pulled up. Actually, that would be a good thing for me to do at a later point, is to look at what is the average launch angle against Logan Webb's sinker. And it just changes the whole thing. Like, if you are now throwing, on average, it's 98.4 mile an hour sinkers that get ground balls and they get swings and misses, it makes your other pitch, that makes it a great pitch. And then it makes the other pitches even better. And you're talking about pitches that already, the slider was already devastating. And then the cutter is already like elite velocity and should be devastating. And we saw, because of all the sink is on the mind, and the hitters just can't seem to hit it. Like, when I watch him throw that sinker, the batters are taking uncomfortable swings against Camilo Duvall's sinker, or they're taking it. And Ron Wotus made this point on the postgame show, and I completely agree. You don't have to be as fine with your command. You can kind of just throw it over the middle of the plate and let the movement kind of run off the plate or to the edge of the strike zone. And that's what he's seemingly done. He's been able to command it pretty well, and you don't have to be as fine, because you don't want to throw that four-seam fastball in the middle of the plate because it doesn't move much. I call it a four-seam fastball, but a cutter doesn't move much, and then it's middle-middle. But with the sinker, if you throw it in the middle and just let it run, it goes onto the outside edge against lefties. And anyway, I just get excited about this pitch. But you saw with that 103-mile-an-hour cutter to Josh Bell that struck him out to end the game, that when you have sink on the mind at 99 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour, and then he's able to add 5 miles an hour to that with this cutter, and you've got to worry about the slider, which he had just thrown the pitch prior, it's just an extremely difficult plate appearance suddenly. When before, you could kind of, if there's two pitches, He throws a slider. He was throwing it like more than half the time. Players would just eliminate, hitters would just eliminate the slider and just look for the 100 mile an hour fastball. But now you've got to worry about this nasty sink. And by the way, since he started throwing the sinker, he's throwing it in outings like 75, 80% of the time in his more recent outings. He's very heavy sinker right now. And so it's completely changed up his repertoire. He used to be primarily sliders and mix in the cutter like 45, 40% of the time. But now currently he's like 80% sinkers. And so the league is going to have to adjust to that. And so far they haven't really been able to do it. I want to take a measured kind of approach because for all we know, he could get lit up his next time out. And I don't know, but it is exciting and we're going to have to let this thing play out. But that was a impressive save last night. One of the more impressive kind of saves of the year. And by the way, the one time his sinker was put in play last night, it was the Juan Soto ground ball to second base. So again, just getting ground balls with this upper 90s sink and swings and misses. So Duvall has a 2.93 ERA on the season. Joey Bart, like I said, the numbers are impressive. Tyro Estrada has kind of emerged here. He's got 10 homers, 15 steals. He provides value on the bases. He, by some metrics, provides value defensively. He's had his issues at times, but by Fangraph's wins above replacement, Estrada has actually been the most valuable position player on the Giants. He's also played a lot, although, no, he hasn't. I mean, he's only at 350 plate appearances. Wilmer has him beat by 53 plate appearances, but Estrada just kind of provides value in all facets of the game. He's not a superstar, but he's just kind of above average a little bit in all aspects of the game, it seems. And so he looks like a future piece as well. So coming up in just a minute, we're actually going to dip back into a mailbag question talking about if the pandemic shortened season influenced the Giants' timeline to get younger, which I think it absolutely did. So we're going to get into that and talk about the Giants' position in the standings and playoff odds. But first, speaking of odds, betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. They actually just sent me updated playoff odds yesterday that had the Giants at about 9%. So that's actually above where Fangraphs had them. So I thought that that was interesting. And you can always check this out for yourself if you head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action happening today. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, here we go. I want to talk about the Giants' playoff position and how it changed given this win last night and what they're up against going into the game tonight. And also get to one of these mailbag questions as we slowly chip away. We had way more questions than we could get to from last week. But the Giants' playoff position. So according to Fangraphs, even with the win last night, they're still at only 6.6%. But they're in a position where they could rock it up. Like if they win tonight, I would venture to say this goes above 10%. And if they win the day after that as well, I would venture to say it's north of 15%. So these games are critically important. And I think we saw that last night. It had a playoff feel for the Giants. The Padres are kind of really trying to right the ship here. Like I said, 1-5 since acquiring Soto, and they only have a one game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers for that third wildcard spot. So the Giants could, I mean, not knock them out of playoff position, but knock them into a tie for a playoff spot, for the last playoff spot with the Brewers, if they can win tonight and if the Brewers also win. So the Padres, I mean, that's what I keep saying. The Padres have not proven themselves. And last year, people forget, like they ended up finishing below 500, but people forget they had a very good record like halfway through the season, or even almost at this point through the season. They were very good, and then they just collapsed and they ended up below 500. This was a team that had Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., all the pitching that they currently have, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and on and on. So until proven otherwise, like, they have just yet to prove that they are a very good team. And even this year, their run differential is just 8 runs better than the Giants. Giants have outscored their opponents by 23 runs this season. The Padres have only outscored their opponents by 31 runs. Padres have played, what is that, 3 more games than the Giants and scored 10 fewer runs. 3 more games played, 10 fewer runs scored. And so they, look, I think they're a good team. They made a lot of good moves that improved their team, but they just have yet to prove it. And so until they prove it to me, I'm not going to just anoint them some super team. Haven't seen it. Hasn't happened yet. So anyway, that's the Giants' position. They're 5.5 back of the third wild card Padres. And yeah, they have a lot of chances against the Padres down the stretch. And so that is kind of the path forward. And the Giants at least have this opportunity. So anyway, I want to get to this mailbag question really quick as we work through this. Matt in Maine says, how much do you think the lockout and 2020 no minor league season pushed back the timetable for the Giants to go younger? So I'm not sure how much the lockout played a role. I guess it very well could have because, well, players who weren't on the 40-man actually could still work with coaches. So I think the lockout may have affected the Giants' start to the season and that it wasn't the greatest of starts. But in terms of no minor league season in 2020, I think that is an underrated aspect of what has kind of pushed back the timeline. I think it pushed it back by a year. They missed a year of development, and so they missed a year of development. And so when we say it's year 4 of the Zaidi era and we're not yet seeing these impact kind of prospects show up at the major leagues, it's kind of like year 3 because they didn't have a year of a minor league season. There was no minor league season. They had this alternate site deal, but from all accounts, it just wasn't the same. Look at Joey Bart. Like, he wasn't ready to come to the major leagues. And by the way, fans were clamoring that he was ready based on what? You know, gut feeling. So there were accusations of service time manipulation, and they just haven't, they were wrong. He wasn't ready. And you talk about Luciano and others, Matos, whoever. They just missed a whole season, and so it pushed them back by a year. And so I kind of think it was unfortunate, but it's the reality for every team. But a team like the Giants specifically that needs to kind of get younger and have these players start showing up, it hurt them arguably more than most. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter, at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Huge game tonight. It's going to be tough. Joe Musgrove is very good, and he's going for the Padres, and Giants go with Alex Cobb. They need good Alex Cobb. They need to play defense behind him, and they need to just kind of scratch out some runs because it's going to be tough. But if you can win this game, then suddenly the vibes are starting to change in a legitimate way. So we'll be with you tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.